Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for starting it right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J., joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we're joined right now by our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you guys.
How's it going over there?
Not bad. How about things there?
Not too bad. Definitely bone-chilling cold out there, but that is kind of the norm for Wisconsin at this time of year. What else does Mother Nature got in store for us?
Yeah, certainly the wind chill warning till 10 a.m. yet this morning, but otherwise, yeah, just a sunny day again here. And a high temperature about 11 with southwest winds developing from 5 to 15. Not as cold tonight, hanging right around zero with clear to partly cloudy skies. And then a mix of clouds and sun. And low 20s the way for Wednesday. Southwest winds 10 to 15. 10, partly cloudy Wednesday night. Partly sunny Thursday, around 20. The next surge of Arctic air comes in Thursday night into Friday, dropping us back down to about 10 below Thursday night. And then some sunshine Friday, 6 above, 2 above Friday night. Weekend weather, some clouds, maybe some snow showers coming in Saturday, 30. And then more clouds and sun Sunday, still around 30. And more 30-degree plus temps early in the next week looking ahead here. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Not bad, not bad.
No, it's a good thing you ended that the way you did, Paul. We'll keep you then.
We'll keep you. We'll
that's keep right. That's right, yeah. A little shaky in the middle there.
Yeah, that's all right, though. We'll get through.
We'll get through. We'll catch up tomorrow, Paul. You have a great day.
All right, thanks. You guys, too.
Best in the business right there. Our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center appreciate the updates. That was good, though. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up in just a little bit for you, everybody. Right now, what happens to us when we're waiting in traffic? Researchers found that the exhaust from cars and big trucks on the road could be breaking your brain, at least temporarily.
Aww.
They had 25 healthy adults breathe in diesel fumes and then scan their brains.
Oh, nice.
Who signed up for this? College kids. College kids. All the people volunteered to do it. I like how they had to include that.
They had to include that.
MRI results showed lower functional connectivity in their brains, meaning that they couldn't think as clearly because different parts of their brain were communicating well. It's also something that's been linked to depression. Doctors used to think air pollution didn't affect our brain waves, our brains very much, at least not right away. But authors of the study say it clearly does, and it happens quickly.
Hmm.
2 hours of sitting in traffic could have a noticeable effect on brain power short term, and it might cause ongoing issues if you're exposed to fumes every day. The good news is there is something you can do about it. Keep your windows up in traffic and make sure your cabin air filter isn't too old.
Mm.
Certainly two things that you should do on a regular basis anyway, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of, does anybody else see a correlation here between this and road rage?
Possibly.
And not to say that road rage wouldn't exist without this or something like that, clearly.
Yeah, no, but, it would. But,
yeah, absolutely. But
yeah, but it could have something to do with it.
Yeah.
Or depression levels in people. Or just, you know, reasons to not rely solely on fossil fuels for our transportation.
Yeah, that's a key part, too. That's a good thing to bring up. I'm thinking of something here, too, because of where we do our show, obviously here in central Wisconsin. We don't have a metropolitan city, you know,
no,
about 2 hours away.
No, you don't get really stuck in traffic very often here.
So I don't know how relatable this is for some people out there, but I will tell you that I think everybody has experienced being stuck in traffic before, and it sucks. You've never heard somebody say, man, I love, hey, everybody, we're stuck. Like, you know, nobody's excited about that.
No.
Imagine that Monday through Friday, every day you're going to work, you have to leave 2 hours earlier because you know that's what's waiting for you on the Dan Ryan or the LAX-1 or any of these in the major cities or something like that. So dealt with it a whole life in Chicago. And I dealt with my whole life, living out in California. You had to leave early. Like, we leave a little early for work, especially this time of year if you know the roads are icy or something like that. Those are the times you usually do that. Otherwise, you've got a pretty routine time of how long it takes you to get to work. And that's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
If I'm in Naperville and I'm working in Chicago, I'm hoping I got this down right, but I never know what is going to be waiting for me on the Illinois freeways or the Los Angeles freeways or any of these major, bigger cities and mm-hmm. stuff. And thousands of people do this, and thousands of people waiting in their cars for 2-3 hours where the traffic jam or something like that.
It boggles my mind, James. Why is that still happening? Why don't we have more public transportation that is taking the place of traffic jams?
It's a good question.
I don't get it.
It's a very good question. I do think that actually that ties really well into something I want to get into later this week with Scott and some of our representatives going forward, really. Amtrak is looking big time to move into Wisconsin here, and I'm really curious what people think of it.
Mm, yeah.
The idea of that, the idea of having an Amtrak station. I mean, it's I don't think that you have anything really happening as smoothly as it does in major cities, in major states, than without an Amtrak. I am a big believer and a big mm-hmm. supporter of it. They do good work, and they run pretty dang efficiently. They get you where you need to be, and you're not using your car. You're not wasting right. gas. Does it cost? Yes.
But so does driving a car and wear and tear on your vehicle. And let's talk about gas prices for a minute.
Right. I don't know. I do think that we're getting closer and closer to a time where if it doesn't happen in the next couple of years, it's going to be happening awfully soon.
Well, and there's federal funding for rail in Wisconsin, but it keeps getting turned down because they talk about, well, I don't know if it's going to get used, and we don't want to have to pick up the bill when the federal funds run out. Okay, well, what is our other options?
Yeah, yeah. This idea that if I just kick the can down the road long enough, I'm not going to have to worry about it. I'm not going to have to make these decisions.
Yeah, you know who's gonna? Your kids and yeah. their kids and their kids' kids. It's just you're just creating more problems later down the road. It's not solving anything.
They're probably not going to have an Amtrak train that's going to go specifically from Abbotsford to Wisconsin Rapids.
But that's unlikely.
But if there was something similar to that, like what it was for me when I lived in DeKalb, I drove up to Geneva, which was about 20 minutes away, mm-hmm. and I took the Amtrak from Geneva down to Chicago.
Yeah, what if there's one from Marshfield to Wisconsin Rapids? That would save me half of the trip.
And also, say there's a day that you need to be in town here because you have an appointment or something like that, but the weather's horrible. You can't drive or anything. Mm-hmm. The Amtrak's still going.
Right.
That thing's still working. So as far as wanting people to get to work and stuff like that, like mm-hmm. that's a pretty reliable resource right there with it. Trust me, I've got students that wish the Amtrak's would go out more often and everything, but they don't. Very curious about that. I'm mm-hmm. really curious to see how that's going to develop and how people feel about that one.
And how far behind Wisconsin is going to be on getting on the train.
That's such a strong point, Melissa, because some of this stuff, it doesn't, like, your personal feelings on it, I'm not saying that they don't matter. Your opinion matters, your feelings matter. But do you want to just get run over by time? Do you want to be the last state in the union that has legalized marijuana? Do you want to be the last?
Like we're going
to
be.
Do you want to be the last one to make any? Because you're not going to make any money off it. You're not going to be Colorado. You're not going to be California. You're not going to be these other states that are making a profit. And you may think, well, I don't care if my state one way or another. Do you care about our farmers? Do you care about our ag industry? That you're taking a crop away from them that they can grow,
like that they can grow that purifies soil.
You're hurting our farmers. You're hurting our ag industry when you're holding this back. It's 2023. Get over it. It is not trying to turn the whole entire world into Cheech and Chong or anything like that. We're talking about helping people with medical issues. Man, if you're struggling with cancer and you have no appetite, you would be damn thankful to have this. I know people that have moved to states with legalized marijuana because of the pain that they are in.
Mm-hmm.
So you're against people that are trying to eat and trying to take care of their pain, and you're against our farmers. Is that what you're telling me? Like, because this whole gateway drug, all this stuff and everything, get out of here. Miss me with that.
Yeah.
You can talk to me about fentanyl. Talk to me about some of these things. And then we'll get talking about like horrible drugs and these kind of stuff and everything. And as far as the Amtrak and the transportation things go, how much money are we leaving on the table with this?
Right.
The jobs that be created with this. The
exactly.
jobs that would be made from this.
Mm-hmm.
It's... we're getting closer and closer to a time whether either you get on this or you're just going to be run over and left behind. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be one of those states that's left in the dark, that doesn't have any of
that
these resources.
Doesn't have the connectivity between other states.
You know, but wait a second. Let me check, because maybe Wisconsin's budget's just fine. Maybe we're doing... No, it turns out, actually, no, we're not. So we could probably use this money. Oh, maybe our farmers are doing just fine. Oh, let me double check. And no, our farmers could actually absolutely use another product to resource and sell.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about, like, your farmers selling dime bags on the side of the street or something like that. I'm talking about this being used for products and different things like that. I'm talking about the actual use of hemp and growing that and stuff.
Yeah. Much more. It's such a renewable resource that's available to us to use that has been maligned for how many years for an agenda?
Yeah. Yeah. You know that it's getting closer and closer, and you know that there is money in this because even Republicans and Democrats agree on it. Even they're seeing, like, they're working across aisle on this one. If they're working together and they're letting their constituents know that they're actually looking to work together and everything, mm-hmm. then you know that there's money on the table.
Right.
there's nothing else other than certain things that would bring that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, come on. What are we doing here? I'm very curious to see how this develops.
I'm curious to see more conversations about it because Scott Walker was very against it. He turned away the rail money that could have already been coming into this state, could have already been developing rail lines here, and we're already behind the ball on this.
Look at who was in Scott Walker's pocket and see why he was against those things. Scott wasn't against those things. The people that were in his pocket were against those things. It's a very similar, and this is all documented. This is a search engine away. You can see it now, especially now that he's been out of office a while and everything. It's no different than what we're seeing with Paul Ryan and some others right now and everything. The chickens are coming home to roost.
Well, it's too bad that he was against all of that, and then also against fixing the Scott holes in the road that, you know, our current governor is finally taking on and making a lot of progress in fixing our roads because they're in bad shape.
We're just at a point in society and time where there's certain subjects like some of these things we're talking about here where it's go time. Like it's been long enough. It's time to make a decision, time to do something about it, one way or the other. Because again, like Don Allmeyer famously said, the answers to all your questions is money. And whether you like that or not, I don't, but it's the truth. It's the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And if your state is leaving money on the table, that is going to hurt. That is going to hurt every small town. It's not going to maybe hurt as the big cities as much, but towns like ours, states like ours, mm-hmm. get hurt by these things.
Small businesses.
Yeah.
The little people.
Got to look into it. Take a break. We'll come back. Let's do some celebrating. Let's get to Misty's menu. Let's lighten it up a little bit.
Talk about pie.
Yeah, that sounds good. Coming up on the morning show here at WFHR. It's time, Misty's Menu, birthday and anniversary time. We're going to do some celebrating right now. We encourage you to get some Misty's in your life. Get over there and treat yourself. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a happy birthday from all of us at WFHR. Happy day, a good day, all the above.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa, I'm sorry. I'm going to have you do a little work this morning.
Oh, goody.
I'm going to need a 1 through 4.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick 3.
Okay. By the way, I love that noise. You just... Whatever that noise was, I need more of that in my life. That was a great noise. There we go. We got ourselves our qualifier. We can dive right into it. And it's all birthdays today, everybody.
All right.
So first up, a very happy birthday to Kay Stashek.
Happy birthday, Kay.
Longtime listener, her and the fam. We appreciate that. Thanks, Kay. And we wish you a great day. Enjoy your day, Kay.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy birthday to Barb Engelbright.
Happy birthday, Barb.
Oh, we hope it's a good one for you, Barb. Enjoy it. A very happy birthday to Samantha Mitchell.
Samantha, happy birthday.
It's a nice name.
I always wanted that to be my name when I was a little girl.
It's a good name. It's a good name. Have a great day, Samantha. We hope you enjoy it. And our qualifier today, happy birthday, Mr. Bob Liska.
Happy birthday, Bob.
Enjoy your day, Bob. Hope it's a great one for you. And let everybody know, hey, I qualified for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club.
Congratulations.
Not only that, I'm the last qualifier of January.
That's right.
And that means that tomorrow's show, we are going to be announcing the winner for January's Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club.
Indeed.
Looking forward to that, everybody. Keep getting us those birthdays and anniversaries. Send them to info@WFHR.com. You can go ahead and send them to me at james.maloff@civicmedia.us.
Yay!
Hang on.
Yeah, where's your bell?
Yeah. So sad.
It's okay. You've been saying the other one for a long time.
Yeah. Now that, yeah. go ahead and get them that to us that way. Direct message us on Facebook, like our Facebook page, and you can direct message us that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into some celebrity birthdays here. Marcus Mumford is 36, lead singer of Mumford & Sons.
Oh.
Good band.
I haven't listened to them a lot, but I think I do like them.
The songs I know from them I like. Mm-hmm. I can't say that I know a ton of their music, but the handful of songs that I know, they're good.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Hubbard is 36. That's one half of the Georgia half of Florida Georgia Line.
Okay.
Get that in. And a very happy guy right now, I imagine, with the Georgia Bulldogs doing well and everything. another singer and a darn talented one, too. Justin Timberlake is 42.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, I don't know how much singing he does anymore. The last time I remember him having a hit song was like the country song he did.
Mm.
I'm
mm-hmm.
sure he's had others, or maybe he has, or at least. And maybe he's still doing the singing thing. But
yeah, I don't know. Got TV, looks like movies has kind of been his thing lately.
Yeah, he hasn't been getting a lot of the roles that he used to. But, you know, he's still working.
It's good.
One of the greatest names in Saturday Night Live history, and a darn good performer as well. Bobby Moynihan is 46 today.
Ah.
Former SNL cast member. Does a lot of voice work now and everything, but that's such a great name. Bobby Moynihan. Try to say Moynihan with a frown on your face. Kerry Washington, 46. She's Olivia Pope on Scandal. Now, a lot of other great work. She's a good actor.
Kerry Washington.
Let's see. Portia de Rossi is 50 today. Portia is Ellen's wife. She got her start on Ally McBeal, and of course, she more famously played Jason Bateman's sister on Arrested Development.
Hmm.
She was really good on that show. It was very good on that show.
I never watched it.
Oh, God. One of my all-time top five favorite shows of all time, Arrested Development.
Really?
Easily. Oh, yeah. Minnie Driver is 53. She is something. Minnie Driver is the tough, just incredible and aggressive mother of a kid with cerebral palsy on the ABC sitcom Speechless.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Ella Enchanted. She was the voice of Jane in Disney's animated Tarzan. In Good Will Hunting, she is the love interest. Minnie Driver got a nice career.
Mm-hmm.
Nice career. Good actor.
So many good. The Phantom of the Opera.
That's right.
Rosaline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good actor.
Mm-hmm.
Great character actor and one of those guys that I was really enjoyed. I really thought was a great one. Anthony LaPena is 64 today. He's the guy HBO originally wanted to play Tony Soprano. And he would have done a good job, but he wouldn't have done a legendary job like James Gandolfini does, probably. Anthony LaPena has done a lot of great work. He's had this kind of career, though. He was also cast to play Capone in a movie, and they ended up even filming scenes with him as Capone. I believe it was Road to Perdition. I think the movie, the Tom Hanks movie, Road to Perdition.
Okay.
Jude Law, great movie. Great, great cinematography. Some of the best cinematography I've ever seen is in that movie, Road to Perdition. And I believe that's the one where Anthony LaPena was cast. They even filmed scenes of him as Capone and everything, but they just cut it from the movie.
Huh.
He's had this happen a number of times in his career where he's like the second guy or he's the guy who just didn't get the break or that kind of thing. Harry Casey is 72. He is Casey of Casey and the Sunshine Band. Very popular band in the 70s. let's see here. Growing up, my favorite pitcher, Nolan Ryan, 76 today.
Even I know that name.
Baseball Hall of Famer, pitcher. I mean, more no-hitters than anybody in history, more strikeouts than anybody in history, and was doing it in, like, his 90s. Like, like Nolan Ryan was striking out, like, 19, 20-year-olds and everything when he was ready to go sign up for AARP. Nolan Ryan, just incredible, incredible athlete. Mm-hmm. Like, just, I almost think we underrate some of his career with the way that he was such a strikeout master and the way he studied batters. Mm-hmm. And God help you if you had to face Nolan Ryan a third time in the lineup or something like that, and did it for such a long time. I have no doubt in my mind, I would bet money right now that if I went up to Nolan Ryan, it's, Nolan, can you still, just throw me a fastball, Nolan, that he could throw me at least an 85 to 90 mile an hour fastball at 76 years old. I have no doubt in my mind the man could still strike out at least half of the Major League Baseball players. Just incredible. Unless I see him not do it, I can't believe that he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
When I was in Texas, we were driving around a bunch. And we happened to be going through this one town, the girlfriend at the time that I was dating, her mom is from, born and raised in Texas. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, James, look. Because I'm bored, and I'm just like looking around. All of a sudden, there's this sign, welcome to, I can't remember the name of the city, but the home of Nolan Ryan, a town that he was born in. I was like a little kid. I was so giddy to be in the town that Nolan Ryan was born in. It was so cool. Incredible athlete. Ernie Banks, born in this day in 1931, passed away in 2015. He is not only Chicago Cubs legend, most people would say he is Mr. Cub. In fact, Ernie, one of the more famous quotes in sports history, let's play two. And double headers would become a thing in baseball.
Huh.
My dad's favorite. Big Ferguson Jenkins guy, but loved Ernie Banks.
Mr. Probably Sunshine.
Yeah. Always a smile on his face. Always a smile on his face. The great, the wonderful Carol Channing, born this day in 1921, passed away in 2019. Hello, Dolly star.
Yes.
Norman Mailer, born this day in 1923, passed away in 2007. Great American novelist. And the man that changed the game, Jackie Robinson, born on this day in 1919, passed away in 1972. Broke the color barrier in baseball when he started playing for the Brooklyn Dodgers back in 1947. Incredible human being.
Mm-hmm.
I think that my favorite thing, and maybe in sports, but certainly my favorite thing in baseball is the stolen base. Jackie Robinson was a stolen base artist and one of the guys that could make stealing home base an art. And would go on to do that, among many, obviously, great, great things that the man did, not just with his career, but after his career as well. And didn't live that long of a life.
No.
You know? It's one of the sadder parts about his life that I can think of. He had a hard one.
Yeah,
hard
and he life. Served in the Army.
Yep. One of our, served our country. Served our, in many ways, Jackie Robinson gave back to this world, gave back to this country. And one more time, we want to wish some happy birthdays out there. Want to have a happy birthday to Kay Stashek again. Happy birthday to Barb Engelbright. Happy birthday to Samantha Mitchell. And a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Bob Liska.
Yeah, happy birthday, everybody.
And again, remember, tomorrow we are going to be announcing the winner for January's Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. What they'll That's win, great. Melissa, is two lunches and two pieces of pie.
Awesome.
How about that?
Yes, but you'll have to plan to get it on Monday, Tuesday, because they're closed, or Friday, because they're closed Wednesday, Thursday during the month of February and the first 3 weeks of March.
Mm. Good to know. And we'll keep, in fact, if you could forward me that something.
I was going to write it on a post-it for you.
I couldn't find it. I was looking for it. I couldn't find it. But yeah, I want to make sure that we mention that in every birthday and anniversary club kind of for the next month or two.
Yeah, they're just closed on Wednesdays and Thursdays in the month of February. So open all of the other days.
We'll make sure to keep everybody up to date on that. So we're sending them there. We want to make sure to send them there and they're
when
open.
When it's open.
Yes. we will take a break. You sit back, listen to Melissa's news. Then when you're done, go ahead, head on over to Misty's. They are open today.
Today.
They're open until 2 today. right over at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings here at WFHR, locally grown radio. A wishing well from Terrence Trent D'Arby. Terrence Trent D'Arby had an interesting break into, this was a huge hit. It was all over the radio. Okay. You just couldn't turn on a radio without hearing this song and everything. And Rolling Stone did a big interview with him, like this up-and-coming artist, the next Prince, a lot of this stuff. And man, I've never read an article of somebody where I didn't think their ego could fit on the page. Like, he had designed and told them in extensive detail about how he had a, at this time that he's doing the article, there is no Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They had talked about building one, but they hadn't built one.
Mm-hmm.
He believed that when his career was done, he would have his own wing of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he had designed it.
What's his name?
Terrence Trent D'Arby. And if you have to ask, that tells you a little bit about how his career is going.
That's why I asked.
A little bit of, still got more hits than I got, I'll tell you that. Good song, too. That Wish You Well. So I kind of think it holds up a little bit. It's not a bad song. How much are we going to be spending on Valentine's? Well, we're just 2 weeks away from that day, so if you're planning on ordering anything online, probably should get to it right now.
Yep.
According to an annual survey by the National Retail Federation, the average American expects to spend $192.80 on Valentine's Day this year.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
That's up from an average of $175 last year, but down from $196 in 2020. Most people are planning to spend the same on significant others and family members as last year, roughly $130, or two-thirds of $193.
Wow.
The increase this year is in the non-Valentine category. Gifts for pets, friends, coworkers, classmates, and teachers.
Because, you know, your cat's going to be really resentful if you don't get them a Valentine's present.
I'm going to give you that look. Yep. Going to give you that look.
They give you that look every day.
They give you that look anyway. They're a cat. They only have one expression.
Not true. But
no,
yes.
It's not true at all. It's not true at all. People ages 35 to 44 plan to spend the most, $336. They're followed by people ages 25 to 34 who plan to spend $238. Since those are well above the average, those ages 45 and older plan to spend a lot less. So what are people buying? 57% will pick up candy. 40% will purchase greeting cards. Others will shell out more than more expensive stuff like flowers, an evening out, an experience, jewelry, gift cards, and clothing. Of course, not everyone celebrates Valentine's Day. Among the people who don't, 28% will still mark the day in some way with some non-Valentine gift, treating themselves to something special, or planning a get-together with single friends and family members. I know the great show Parks and Recreations made it a really big thing, Galentine's Day, where a bunch of single women get together for brunch or something like that.
Okay.
I've never been invited, so I don't know.
Last I checked, you're not a single woman, James.
Yeah, I suppose. The woman thing kind of does play into it a little bit. I suppose. I don't know. I think that there's a quick response to this is like, oh, that's really high. Oh, that's expensive. Well, I don't disagree, but I will say that they're counting in the factors like gas, the money it takes to go to an event, and how much gas that's going to cost, and a lot of those things.
Well, an event is going to cost quite a bit more regardless.
Yeah.
Than chocolate. Unless you're getting really nice chocolate.
Yeah, I suppose. You know, what kind of chocolate are we talking about here? Yeah. I got to say, that's one thing. Like, I barely taste the difference of this, like, really, really expensive chocolate and Hershey's. Like, I do notice a bit of a difference, but not enough to where I'm, like, going to spend another $70 or something like that.
Well, that's some excessive.
But there's certain chocolates that I can notice a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And as my palate's getting stronger, I'm noticing a difference between rich and milk chocolates. I'm noticing. Mm-hmm. I never noticed that before, though.
Really?
It's chocolate to me.
Wow.
But now I'm noticing the differences of those.
Okay. Even
like German chocolate and other chocolates, I'm seeing the differences in some of that.
Well, I'm glad some of that nuance is coming out for you because chocolate is an amazing world.
It's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fun to be able to like, now when I see a label of that or something, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I know what I'm going to expect here. Before it was just chocolate. It all just tasted the same to me.
But dark chocolate and milk chocolate are so different.
God, yes. And I love dark chocolate. Oh, I love dark chocolate. So good. I don't know. I everything's more expensive right now. So
yes.
There's that factor too.
There is.
Because I look at this and that's a lot to spend. I'm a foolish romantic
like
and I'm saying that.
It's a Hallmark holiday.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are good things about it. Yes, expressing love, an excuse to spend some money or time or attention on the people in your life that you love and care about. Those are all good things. But I wouldn't break the bank.
I cringe a little bit using this terminology because I feel like some people misuse it. But we do have, again, science has shown, we all have a love language. We all have a way of expressing ourselves, of showing people we care about, that we care about them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always, it is a case-by-case thing. Some people are different. I've noticed that one of the things for me in showing others how I feel is I grab this little thing for them. And I give it to them when I see them. And it's not about how much I spent on it or what the thing is exactly. But, hey, I was thinking about you at a random part in the day.
Mm-hmm.
No reason I should have been. But for some reason, you popped in my head. I saw this thing. There you go.
Yeah.
I think that material objects can mean something, but it's not really it's not about the material object. Now, if that is your love language, where you are a materialist or something like that, then that's a whole different thing.
Hmm.
Then you might be thinking you're underspending here. I don't know. But I do think that that's one of the key things of moving forward. Not just we focus so much on love relationships, on you know the significant other stuff. I'm more focused on our language of showing each other how we feel in society with friends and, mm-hmm. and with coworkers and these things.
Yeah.
How we learn how to do that better in society going forward. To give people, you know, to not make things awkward or uncomfortable for people and those kind of things, or and also to give people some grace. But also, I think we could all be a little bit better at this. I think we could all do a little bit better at this, mm-hmm. at letting people. It shouldn't be that something tragic has to happen for us to tell people how we feel about them.
Right.
I'm not saying you do this every second of the day either.
Well, that would be excessive.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. But I do think as a society we could get a little bit better about, hey, you're awesome. Hey, I care about you.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think this is stuff. How we do that, how we express that stuff is what's another factor here.
Of course.
Because some people, you may not realize they're telling you that, but that's mm-hmm. what they're telling you. They may not be saying it, but they're trying to do that through their actions mm-hmm. because maybe they can't word it or something like
well,
that.
Yeah, because the different love languages are like words of affirmation, obviously. We just touched on that. Acts of service. That is another way that you can show that you love someone. Gifts. We touched on that as well. Quality time. Spending time with
that's
people.
A big one.
Making a phone call. Just giving them some attention. And then the last one is physical touch.
Mm-hmm.
Giving somebody a hug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's lots of ways to show that you care about somebody. And that doesn't have to be awkward.
Yeah.
I know you were fishing, so James, I love you. We'll just get that out of the way.
I love you back. Why did they get me? I should have seen that coming. How did I not see that coming?
I love that you're blushing right now.
I'm so red right now. It's funny. That's hilarious.
So don't be awkward about it, because then, you know, you make your coworkers feel weird and it gets a little awkward in the room because now I'm blushing too.
Uh-huh. I'm glad you did that. That was perfect. That was great. Well done. I hope going forward we can turn, like, 'cause you hit it on the head, I think, early. This is kind of a hallmark holiday. Well, why can't we turn this into a good one, though?
Well,
you
yeah.
know, a more organic holiday instead of making it so materialistic, unless that is your way of expressing
right.
things.
You don't have to buy something, but you can if you want to, and if you're able to.
Make it a point to you know, I don't think that there's many people that are in a committed relationship or in a relationship at all that would say, you know, I don't really like spending time with that person.
That kind of defeats the point.
Right. I think quality time is one of the key love factors that almost everybody has in them, you know, in some degree or another.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just looking it up. Valentine's Day is on a Tuesday this year.
Yes.
So I think making the time to spend some time together, the weekend mm-hmm. before that, the weekend after, maybe doing some big plans, but
yeah.
I'm just making the commitment of spending some time together, mm-hmm. I think is a great win. Right there.
And guys, the Super Bowl party does not count.
Oh!
Unless that's really your girl's thing.
All right, I gotta go to break because all the plans... my fur brother is going to be so upset. He's been flirting with this one dog in town. And I think he had Valentine's Day set up as the day. And he was going to bring her over for Super Bowl and all that. No, it's not going to work now. Take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We're going to actually open up the phone lines right now, 424-2600. If you've got a take on this one, what we're going to get into right here, I'd love to hear back from you all. Because, in part, I feel like I'm doing you a disservice, Melissa, with this next conversation, because it's about gender language. And is it acceptable to refer to women as girls or guys? And I don't like the idea of it being all on you, like to speak for all womanhood or anything like that. So I'd really love to hear from any ladies out there, especially, but really anybody can chime in on this one. 424-2600 if you'd like to join the conversation and you got an opinion on this one. Remember, we're a PG show. Keep that in mind. But it comes to us from YouGov America, and I will admit wholeheartedly right out the gate, I am so guilty of this. I refer to groups of women as, hey, guys, all the time. I am working to get better at it, but I also have not had hardly any pushback on it.
Well, that's the thing, because in my generation, that was very common phrase referring to a group of people, not gender specific.
Had nothing to do with gender. Nothing to do with that. In recent years, there have been a number of public discussions around the use of gender terms to address certain groups of people. Some argue that girl is infantilizing when used to refer to adult women, while boy doesn't have these same gender connections. Other note that while the term guys is used colloquially to refer to a group of people regardless of gender, its usage dismisses women who are present and reinforces a view of men as the default. In an effort to understand America's view on the subject, YouGov conducted this poll referring on the acceptability of referring to groups of women as girls and groups of men as boys, as well as the usage of terms of y'all and you guys when addressing groups of men and women. The findings suggest that the perceived acceptability of girls and boys to refer to adult women and men depends on the context in which the terms are used. Guys is more widely acceptable when used by men to refer to a group of men, but its usage becomes more uncertain when referring to mixed or an all-woman group. Other second-person plural pronouns, such as y'all or folks, are less likely to be used than you guys among Americans overall. Is it acceptable to refer to women as girls? Is it demeaning to refer to adult women as girls? A total of 41% of Americans believe it usually is. 25% always, and 16% say it's unacceptable to refer to women as girls. Slightly more, 49% say it is acceptable, either usually 35% or always 14% of the time. Women are less okay with the term girls than men are, while men are more likely to say it's acceptable than unacceptable for men to refer to women this way. Women are more likely to say it's unacceptable.
Okay.
Let's see here. Is it acceptable to refer to women as ladies? The term ladies is as far more acceptable than the alternative. A majority of men and women say it as it's always acceptable for men and women to refer to a group of adult women in that way. Let's see here. And most men, well, it's split down the line for men as far as if they want to be called boys or not. 55% say that it's acceptable. The other percentage don't. And is it acceptable to refer to women as guys? Another gender term that has been the subject of debate is the guys term. While the vast majority of people think it's usually or always acceptable to use guys to refer to a group of men, fewer are sure about the usage to refer to a mixed group of men or a group of women. When asked about men using the term guys, 82% of Americans say it is usually or always acceptable when referring to a group of men, while 77% say it is when referring to a mixed group, and only 63% say it is okay to use to a group of women. So there we go with all of that.
That was a lot of stats.
A lot of information, and I don't know if we're any clearer on the subject.
Well, I think that, like we said initially, it's something that we just grew up doing. It's common.
Yeah.
But as we're changing as a society, as we're becoming more aware of how names and labels affect people, we're becoming more conscious of it. I actually, this just happened to me, James. It's hilarious that you bring this up, because I was going to compliment a group of people on about something, and I typed in "you guys," and then I was like, "Wait a minute, these are not guys.
Yeah,
these are not men." And so I just rethought it, and I rewrote what I was going to say to be more inclusive, to be just, I don't know, an understanding of aware for me personally. Now, are there certain women that I don't have a problem? You guys get over here, you know, or something like that. Or calling a woman a girl, like, you go, girl.
Yeah.
There are certain women that I would do that with. There's certain women that I wouldn't. When I was working at the high school in Toma, I made a very conscious effort to, if I couldn't address them by their name, students by their names, when they'd come in my office, I would address them as ladies or gentlemen. Or sometimes I would call guys bud or buddy, you know, as a as a way of just trying to address them in a familiar way, but not... You know.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
To just like, I see you. I acknowledge your presence, kind of thing. It's important. Labels are important.
I think context is important too.
Yes,
and actions need to be take. Actions should be taken in the context that they are given.
Right.
If somebody is saying a joke, if somebody is saying something loosely or off the cuff or anything like that, it doesn't mean that it can't still be offensive or anything like that, but I think that that needs to be interpreted into your reaction or how you respond to it. Same way that if you have somebody that is referring to you in one of these terms that you're not comfortable with, you don't like, give it a second. Now, how well do you know the person? Like, if you've been friends a long time and you really know that person really well, then they should probably know better, and you might need to say something or what have you. If it's somebody that you just recently got to know or whatever, I don't think there's any harm in be like, you know, I really don't like being called that. If you wouldn't mind next time, maybe not calling me that. And, you know, if you wouldn't mind, I know it's silly, but if you wouldn't, you know, whatever.
Right. Find a way to address it that's not confrontational.
Yeah, I don't.
How dare you call me that?
It's a little bit of what I was saying the other day about, you know, getting bent out of shape over nothing. There's plenty in this world to get bent out of shape over. Just wait. You know, if you're somebody looking to jump on a cause or you're looking for any of these things, you're going to have your time. You know, whether it's good or bad, you're going to have that moment. It's frustrating to me to see people making a mountain out of a molehill. These kind of things. And it's not to say that you don't, you know, whatever you offense you take or hurt you take, that is, you know, not for me to judge. That's that's your pain. That, no, you know, it's not fair for us to judge another's pain or any of this stuff.
No.
At the same time, again, context is important. And perspective is greatly important.
Yes.
And I don't think it hurts to think, I deal with anti-Semitism all the time. It sucks. It's rough. And I don't like it. And it's uncomfortable and all these things. It's a heck of a lot better than what my ancestors dealt with.
True.
Like, they were dealing with was a lot more serious than the stuff that I've dealt with.
Perhaps, but we can do more. We can do better.
I just think that it helps to have perspective.
It does.
You can have your pain in all this and at the same time understand, dang, I got it a lot easier than my ancestors did. And we don't make any forward progress if that's all we do. You're right. They can't. That is not enough. You can have the perspective, but you also have to have the context of things can be better. And it takes me to make them better. It takes all of us to make them better.
And I think all of us have experienced this at one point or another in our lives. What, you know, you run into a friend you haven't seen in forever, and they're little baby that you last saw as an infant is now a four-year-old. And you say, oh, what a nice little boy. And she looks at you and goes, I'm a girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Labels matter.
Yeah, yeah, they do. I can't pretend to imagine what it is like to go through the gender changes or a gender and you know, not even knowing, you know, being certain of that or anything. I'm very fortunate. I had no doubts about that or anything. When it comes to that subject matter, I think we're all learning. We're all trying to get better about that and trying to progress that conversation. I appreciate when it comes to pronouns and those things, if I get it wrong, being corrected, but not being slapped. Like my hand being slapped. I don't think that does anybody any good. As somebody who has had to do this quite a few times in my life, boy, This, I can't tell you how many times this conversation has happened, Melissa, where I know you're something. I know you're something, but are you Latin? Are you, what are you? And people just trying to figure out what ethnicity I am, and I'm just letting them go ahead and burn them, you know, keep digging this hole that they're digging for themselves and everything. I don't take it offense. I understand. I'm mixed. I look different. I knew this from going out the gate here and everything. I've embraced it. Now, I don't say that that's how everybody should feel or everybody is going to feel. Different things, different people. But I do think that you got to have a little grace for people. I don't know how else we're going to make this any better if all you're doing is you know, knocking people down if they get it wrong. Like, that, nobody's going to learn that way.
No. There's a lot of us in this world. There are a lot of us with a lot of different perspectives and backgrounds and ethnicities and genders. So be understanding and inclusive and I don't know, just do your best.
It what harm does it do you to do that? How does it slow? Does it add an extra? Does it keep you? Like, you're going to be late for work because you had a little grace, you had a little kindness to somebody. you're gonna. Is it going to cost you money? You know, you're going to lose stock or something. I mean, no, it doesn't hurt.
Kindness is worth every effort.
Yeah, yeah. It feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't think we talk about that part enough. The goodness that you feel from doing good, and how genuine and organic that is, and how great it can feel.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that I'm going to be one of the last people in the world that gets this down.
Just the guys thing?
Yeah, I'm just owning this. I'm being very honest about it. I'm working on it, but... And I have to say, too, with the conversation part about gentlemen and ladies earlier, I just like that. I just think it sounds cooler, gentlemen and ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I love referring, like, me and the guys are together, we're all watching football or something like that and couldn't be more grimy and all that. And how are you doing, gentlemen? Like, you know, there's not a gentleman among us. But, yeah.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up because I've gotten more pushback for calling a group of men gentlemen.
Really?
Yes. Than any other, like, term that I've called a group of people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's that is very interesting.
Guys getting offended over being called a gentleman. I'm not a gentleman. I don't know what you're talking about.
To me, that speaks to something about them.
I don't know if they're actually outraged or if it's just a you know, joking response, but it's just kind of funny.
I would not have thought of that. That is very funny to me. That's hilarious. We're going to take a quick commercial break here. We're going to come back and we're going to get into some entertainment news. A couple of things I want to touch on there. Got some Super Bowl ads we got to talk about a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And some stuff like that. And then, of course, I want to get into our Pet of the Week. I want to talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah. I always do that when I'm not here.
Yeah, see, we're going to do it while you're here today. We're going to take care of that here while you're here. That'll be coming up for you. Also, coming up today in Morning Magazine, we are going to welcome in Dan Minter, president of Assumption Catholic Schools. Get an update from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll try my hardest not to just talk about the women's basketball team that they got over there. God, they're so good. And Larry Dodenbauer, executive director of Love, Inc., going to join us. They got a great concert coming up.
Oh,
I'm excited to talk about that and really remind people and especially inform people that may not know out there about the great work that Love, Inc. is doing.
Mm-hmm.
All that coming up for you. And it's live radio. Who knows what trouble Melissa and I are going to get into. It's all coming up on Mornings here at WFHR.